You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening and welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone is Michael Jarre, who is Vice President of Communications at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on with us. For those not familiar, would you tell us what the Mackinac Center for Public Policy is all about?
I sure will. We are a nonpartisan research and educational institute, and we're devoted to studying research here in and doing research here in Michigan on policy issues that are going to make Michigan a better place. So, for instance, we're almost like a mini university. We take a look at issues of taxation or labor, education, the state budget, and we try to find ways to, from a free market perspective, to improve all of those areas so as to improve Michigan as a place to do business and to live and to visit.
And boy, you've been in the headlines lately, and it's kind of taken some interesting turns. It first came to the attention when you folks made some FOIA requests, and that's a fairly common practice for a lot of different folks doing the kind of work that you do. What were the FOIA requests for? And then we'll talk about why they seem to take a turn.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny, Cheryl. As a rule, FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests, are fairly mundane, fairly routine. We do a lot of them to enhance our research and also to, as part of our investigative reporting, we have a daily news wire service called the Michigan Capital Confidential. We have an investigative video reporting arm, and we use FOIA requests to get information from government entities using government documents to find out information. The whole reason the law exists is to keep government accountable to the people, and journalists use it all the time. What we asked for in this case was for documentation, including emails, from Wayne State University, the University of Michigan, and Michigan State University's labor study centers. And we were looking for some keywords kind of related to a number of the things that are in the news right now related to labor issues as a part of that. And that got leaked to the media before we ever got a response from these universities. And that's kind of what started the whole hubbub.
Well, why do you think these got so much attention? I mean, is it coincidental that the information you were looking for was related to labor issues? And who do you think leaked, or do we know how this information got to the media? And that wasn't a concern of yours, was it?
No, I mean, we weren't looking to make this a high visibility thing until we actually knew if we had a story in hand. What we do, what any media outlet does, is it either sees something that needs to be looked into, or maybe you get a tip, and so you file a FOIA to see if you can get information that would maybe let you know if there's a story there or not, and that's what we were doing in this case. We don't know who leaked it, and we were surprised that it got so much coverage so quickly, although I guess in this environment with what's going on in Wisconsin and in Ohio, anything that's going to be related to a public union labor issue is probably going to be getting more visibility than it would under normal circumstances.
Well, and this is one of those instances where you looking to see if there was a story or not, and you became the story.
Right, exactly, which, again, was not our intention. But what we were looking for specifically was something that we've kind of monitored for a few years now. The Labor Studies Center, especially at Wayne State University, has been engaged in activity that goes beyond just typical academic analysis of labor issues and what's going on with unions in the state and so on. What we've seen there is a real push right up to the line of actual political action, where the academics are no longer just teaching and studying labor issues. They're becoming actively a part of labor issues. And you know, imagine, for instance, that a university department a medical school got very involved in putting out information that would help the Tea Party try to overturn Obamacare. People would look at that and say, hey, that's not the role of the medical school at the U of M. That's not what the people there should be engaged in. I mean, they can do whatever they want in terms of politics on their own time. But if they are receiving public monies, taxpayer monies, using official government resources to advance politics, then that crosses the line. That's illegal. And that's what we were looking into here, because for a number of years, Wayne State has been going real close to, if not crossing over, that line in terms of political engagement, and that's what we were scrutinizing in this circumstance.
And then you are looking not only to Wayne State, but Michigan State University and the University of Michigan as well. Have you gotten any responses on these FOIA requests to date?
We have not. We've seen a couple things. It's funny. We've seen a couple things in the media where officials from perhaps MSU have been on the record as saying that they would comply or that they were still looking, but we have not directly gotten feedback from the university.
And the feedback that you have gotten have been some threats against who at the Mackinac Center?
Well, we, after this got some national media attention, and Rachel Maddow of MSNBC has talked about it on her show a couple of times, we started getting some emails and calls that were hostile and angry and full of vile language and whatnot. We were, and that's fine. If you're going to enter the policy debate, I guess you have to be ready for some of that. But last week on Thursday night, over the course of the evening, spread out over several hours, about five messages were left on our answering machine, and they were from at least one woman, maybe two. It's kind of hard to tell if there's from the voices that they don't identify the callers, but they basically said, they indicated that they had seen this on Rachel Maddow's show, and then they went into sort of a tirade saying, we are gonna kill you. We know where you're located. We know where your office is in Midland. They gave the specific address. We are going to bomb you. We hate you. You're all going to die. This was kind of the theme of these five messages scattered over several hours throughout the night on Thursday. They also targeted or said they were going to bomb Scotty Walker. That's how they put it. Scotty Walker, I assume they mean the governor of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And so at that point, we felt like, gosh, we really need to take this seriously. So we notified the local authorities here in Midland, but we also notified the FBI, since this went beyond just our own personal safety. There were threats to somebody else, a public official outside of the state. And so I believe the FBI now is taking a look into this situation.
Well, we will continue to follow this story along, Michael. I appreciate your time this evening. And like you said, it's always interesting when the media becomes the story itself. Not intentional. It just ended up that way. I appreciate your time, and we will follow along. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Michael Jarre, who is the Vice President of Communications at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy in Midland. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.